Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing the broadcast at the top of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to ask a question today. What is it like to be a Christian in the world today? We've had this long history, a church history, over 2,000 years, and we're in a unique time as far as believers in Christ Jesus. And here's what I mean by that particular question. Last year, almost 100,000 Christians were martyred. That's 11 Christians per hour lost their life because of their faith in Jesus Christ. According to the Center for Studies on New Religions, over 600 million Christians were prevented from practicing their faith last year through intimidation, forced conversions, bodily harm, or even death. So in this world today, to be a believer means you're more than likely going to face some type of suffering, some type of persecution, some type of trial is going to be thrown your way. Yeah. How do you withstand? How do you stand tall? How do you stand firm in the grace of God? And really, that is the subject of Peter's first letter. He talks about suffering throughout that particular letter, and he knew a thing or two about suffering. As the lead apostle who stood up on that day of Pentecost and led the charge for this good news of Jesus Christ, proclaiming it into the Jewish world, he suffered mightily simply because of his faith. He was imprisoned, eventually was martyred, hung or crucified upside down, according to tradition. So he was a person who was familiar with suffering, and yet his name was Peter. Jesus had given him that name, which meant rock, and he was to be a person that had rock-solid faith. And so he writes about that in this particular letter. How can we, in the face of suffering, how can we, in the face of persecution, stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? How can we experience, as Peter said, this living hope that we've been born again into because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's not something that a lot of us experience to the depths of Christians around the world here in America, but I think it's coming. Don't you guys agree with that or feel the same way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think what you've cited in the statistics there, Bob, that's just the beginning. My guess is the trajectory is going to be going up in terms of that suffering, not going down. And that's because, you know, this is what Jesus warned us about. He said the world would hate us. The world will never understand us. They will come against the name of Jesus. I often remark that Jesus seems to be one of the few religious figures, in quotes, that ends up being a curse word for people. It's interesting we don't scream out Buddha or Muhammad when we stub our toe, but there's something here about Jesus being used and abused and ridiculed, and therefore those who have Jesus Christ living in them can expect to be abused and ridiculed and mocked and not understood. And so I think these numbers are only going to go up, not down, unfortunately, but that's part of the story of how Jesus Christ is going to rescue us and his return and the tribulation that is to come in the future. All of this is part of what God is going to use, and there's a beauty in that more and more people will come to know him the more that this goes on. The more people will come to know him, and that's the beautiful side of it. But in the meantime, it's certainly not any fun to have physical persecution and pain. And so, Peter's encouragement here doesn't fall on deaf ears around the world today. There's plenty of people that are suffering to a great deal in the name of Jesus.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I think the immense pressure that the world exerts on Christians, we start waffling a little bit, and we want to go back we want to fit in. There's this immense pressure to conform to the patterns of this world. And I think as that pressure intensifies, we become more vulnerable to that, don't we? You know, the world wants us to join in. The world wants us to follow along in the policies and decisions that it's making, even though those policies and decisions go against the clear teaching of the Word of God. There have been many politicians here of late that have stood up and said we believers need to put our faith on the back burner as far as certain issues that are right here with us today are concerned. And so there's this immense pressure that the world is exerting on us to conform to its way. But that's the very thing that we've been rescued from. We Absolutely. Used to live according to the patterns of this world, but we've been snatched out of that. That's why Peter says we're strangers, we're aliens in this world today. We don't fit. We have been made to fit in another way of life, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. So I know all of us are feeling that pressure to conform, and we want to put that question out to people today. In what ways have you felt the pressure to conform to the world system? It may be just the fleshly side of the world system. It may be the political side of the world system. It may be the religious side of the world system. In what way have you felt pressure to conform back to the patterns of this world as a believer in Christ? And I think this is something that is very important for us to talk about because we need to encourage one another. We're all going through some sort of trial. We're all feeling that pressure, some sort of pressure. And I think we need to encourage each other to keep our eyes focused on this living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So if you would like to join us on today's broadcast and talk about how you felt pressure and how this gospel of Jesus Christ has helped you stand tall in the midst of it, call right now, 844-322-2742.
And in perfect line with what we're talking about this month and on this particular broadcast as well, and as our thanks to you for your gift to support Basic Gospel in the month of August, we're going to send you our latest DVD series, a teaching series called Your Living Hope. Now, in this series, you will stand firmly. You'll learn to stand firmly in the grace of God, even under the intense pressures that we're talking about, pressures that you face to conform to the patterns of this world. To make your gift, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or phone 844-322-2742. Make your donation today, friends, and receive your copy of Your Living Hope, the new video teaching series from Basic Gospel. Once again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And if you live outside the U.S. or Canada, PayPal is your best way to donate and support the ministry of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Mary Jo, listening to us in Louisville, Kentucky. She has a very important question for us today. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I got out with Michelle. I'm not doing too well. My back's been bothering me. Works. We rest from our work the same as Christ did, and I can't quite figure out what that means.
Well, Mary Jo, I think we can help you on that. I think you're referring to a passage in Hebrews that talks about we rest from our works just as Christ rested from his. And it's a very important passage. Andrew, help us understand what it means that Christ rested from his works. And Richard, you join in on this conversation, because this is one of those watershed truths. It's going to move us in one way or another. If we know we can rest from our works just as Christ did, that changes the whole dynamic of our relationship with Christ. So, guys, walk us through this.
Yeah, well, you know, rest is a really big deal in the Christian life. In fact, the Jews rested on a certain day in the Old Testament. They rested on a certain day for thousands of years because that was going to be a picture and a shadow and a symbol of the rest that we have today. So apparently rest is a really big deal to God. Even God rested after he created the world. He rested. So then after God rested, the Jews rested once a week. And then now it says in Hebrews chapter 4 that there remains a Sabbath rest for us today, for the people of God. But here's the catch, Mary Jo. It doesn't have anything to do with Saturday or Sunday. It's really about every day, and it doesn't have anything to do with refraining from mowing your grass or, you know, cleaning out your cabinets or doing anything like that. No, it has to do with resting spiritually in what Jesus did for us. So rest is another way to express faith. It's another way to trust. When we trust Christ, we begin to relax. When we have faith in what he did for us, we begin to relax. So we're relaxing with Jesus in that sense. And that's what he's called us to, is a spiritual rest where, you know, if you've got everything done for you, you know, just like Adam and Eve, the whole world was created. All they did was show up and name some animals or something. I mean, the work was done and they got to enjoy it. Well, that's a picture, a shadow of the work being done for us on the cross. The work was done through the resurrection. The work was done. If your sins have been taken away, you can relax. If you've been freed from the standard of the law, you can relax. If you've been loved forever and you're told he'll never leave you, never forsake you, then that makes a person relax. So when we look at the finished work of Jesus and recognize we're forgiven and we're freed from the law and we've got the presence of Jesus in us forever, no matter what, this causes us to just take that deep sigh of relief and just say, wow, thank you, Lord. And we begin to relax. So this is what it means to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not about a single day of the week. It's about every day, all day long, as we rest in what Jesus did for us.
Yeah, and Andrew, that's such an important phrase, the finished work of Christ. Yes. So when he said and cried out, "It is finished," from the cross, there was nothing more to be done as far as our sins were concerned. Everything that needed to be done, Jesus accomplished at that very moment. And as the writer of Hebrews says, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. His work was done. Yeah. And because his work was done, there's nothing left for us to do. So that really is the operative phrase, isn't it? The finished work of Jesus Christ. So, Mary Jo, are you following with that? Jesus finished his work, so we can rest with him.
Yes, I'll have to order the CD and listen to it some more. And my mind wanders sometimes when you all are talking. It just does. I guess it's due to my back pain and what have you. But
well, we'll send you this CD, Mary Jo. Absolutely. Okay? And I think we have some other information that we can send you as well, specific to the finished work of Christ and what that means to fully rest in him. Andrew, I know one time in a sermon you brought out a chair and you said Jesus was seated at the right hand of God the Father because mm-hmm. his work was finished, and we're in Christ, we're seated in him. So we just are right there with him, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, you think about why Christians are so anxious today, you know, why we're so fearful at times, why we're so worried, so guilty feeling. You know, I mean, these are all the opposites of resting. And so everything we just explained as we talked about it with Mary Jo, well, the opposite is also true, that you can experience unrest if you don't realize your sins are totally wiped away. That'll lead to unrest. If you think that you're under the law or under a part of it in order to keep God happy with you, well, that's going to lead to unrest. If you think that you might lose your salvation because God will pick up and leave you, that he'll literally divorce you spiritually if you don't keep up your end of the bargain, so to speak, well, all of that creates unrest. So that's why the truth really matters. You know, we say we need to hear it, believe it, live it. It starts with the truth about Jesus, not lies about him, but the truth. And so that's why it's so important to get these things straight, Bob. You know, we can't afford to be wrong about such important truths that lead to such incredible rest.
Yes, indeed. Interesting that you bring up the word divorce, that God is never going to divorce himself from us. But that word forgiveness, to to send away. It's the same word that Paul uses for divorce in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, don't divorce your wife. Don't put her away. Don't send her away. And so in essence, what Jesus did at the cross was divorce us from our sins. He separated us from our sins so that we could be joined to Christ Jesus once and for all. Talk about good news. That is good news.
Yeah.
Well, Mary Jo, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Hold on the line, and we'll send some information to you, okay?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Good to hear from you, as always.
Yeah. Well, again, 844-322-2742. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time Hour, we're live, and we want you to be a part of it at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks. We're going to go down to Bastrop, Texas, and talk with Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. So nice to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on the question. You know, you said, how are we sometimes maybe pressured being believing, living in this world, and sometimes being pressured maybe to be conformed to, you know, its values. But I think not even only living in this world, sometimes other believers, me being a Sunday school teacher, there's been times, you know, you would think that Christians would have, you know, being saved and understanding the truth of the gospel, that the passion and the love for God, his people, and the word. But there's been times, you know, it seems like people, they'll drag in, they'll get there. When they get there, it's like, you know, But then when I think about it, you know, I think sometimes it may bring discouragement. But when I think about the gospel, the truth of God, that it sets people free, and it's that hope, you know, maybe the gospel is the truth, and it could never be a lie. And so that's what gives me the strength to cause me to persevere, and it caused me not to look at others, but just to be there. It's not what people have done, but it's what Christ has done. And so that when I feel discouraged, or maybe even the world values, or even those around me, it's the truth of the gospel that makes me want to run on. That's what gives me the strength to persevere, to keep going. It's the love of God.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes.
It's amazing. One of the things that happens is that when we're being pressured to conform to the world or conform religiously, the message seems to be, look, if you give up just 1%, I'll give up 1%, and we'll meet somewhere in the middle. The truth is, if you give up 1% of the truth of the gospel, the only thing left is zero.
Right?
It's taken away completely, and there's way too many people in our churches who don't understand the gospel in a way that it's intended in its life-giving form. And that spirit of compromise just exists. Right. And you don't have to be hard-nosed about it. You don't have to, you know, kick butt and take names. It's just standing up for Jesus, who he is, and what he has accomplished. And then you begin to see the excitement level, the passion, the thankfulness, all the rest of it comes along with standing 100% on this gospel.
Yeah, and Aaron really brings up a little bit of what Peter was very familiar with, as he was in Antioch and the Judaizers came and he was eating with the Gentiles, and he started to fear what those Judaizers would think about him. So he disassociated with the Gentiles and just hung out with the Judaizers for fear, because of fear. And as Paul said, he became hypocritical. And he was not living according to the truth of the gospel. So he understood what that pressure felt like, and he gave in to that pressure.
Yes.
He conformed to the patterns of that religious world that he once lived in. And I think we all can do that. Why? Because what other people think about us can be very important, and we want to fit in. We want to be liked. We want to be a part of the group, so to speak. But with the gospel, we have this living hope. We have something that enables us to stand firm. We have a solid rock to stand on, a living hope that can keep moving us forward. And I know, Andrew, you've experienced pressure. You've had people that have, you know, come against some of the things that you teach and some of the things that we teach. And you know, that pressure's there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's there for sure. I mean, first, you know, I worked in academia for 17 years, and, you know, a lot of the view of Christianity in some academic circles, not all, but some, is certainly that, oh, well, if you're, you know, if you're a Christian, you've checked your brain at the door, and that's just a crutch and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, they say, well, it's great if it makes you feel good, but it's not really needed, not really necessary. So the whole sin issue, the sin and spiritual death issue, just gets shoved under the carpet. We don't have a problem. We just need to, you know, love each other a little more. We just need better education. If we can just educate the world out of the problem that they're in, that's the premise of that line of thinking. But if we're dead, we're dead. And if we're dead, we need life. And so, you know, it's interesting how the world doesn't look at sin and death as the real issue. They try to make it into morality and ethics and just loving people more and getting better education. But, you know, you can educate a corpse, it's still a corpse. You can change the behaviors and mannerisms of a spiritually dead person, and they're still spiritually dead. So what's unique about Christianity and what's awesome about it is that, you know, Jesus is giving life to us, not a system of morality and ethics, but his life given to us. And that's the core of what real Christianity is. And I don't think the world comprehends it. They reject it, but they also just plain don't comprehend it. I mean, if you were to interview the average Joe on the street about what they think Christianity is, they would say, well, that's about, you know, honoring Jesus by going to church and being a good person and, you know, having faith and, you know, treating people well and, you know, all that stuff. They might even mention the cross, maybe. But, you know, the idea of Christ living in us and giving life to us is far from many people's understanding.
Yes, indeed. Well, Aaron, we certainly appreciate your call, and thank you for the reminder that the gospel really is the driving force in all of our lives as believers. That's the living hope that we have. And really, that's why it's so important, I think, for us to really understand what Peter is writing to us in this first letter and his second letter. Why? Because he gives us the hope of the gospel. I mean, all throughout, woven throughout each and every chapter is something about either the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, what he's accomplished for us, and that becomes our hope. That becomes our foundation. That becomes the very thing that enables us to stand against the pressures that this world exerts on each and every one of us.
Yes,
it is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, as we said earlier, we're offering our listeners a great new DVD series called Your Living Hope. Tell the listeners a little bit about it.
Well, it's a quick run through 1 Peter. So yeah. Richard and I will walk you through the pages, and we're going to point out throughout this little book, this letter, all the things that Peter has written about the grace of God. At the end of this letter, he says, I testify to you that this is the true grace of God. Now stand firmly in it. Well, that's what this letter, that's what this series is all about, is the grace of God and how we can stand firm in it against all of the pressures, the trials and tribulations that are going to come our way as a result of just living in this world that we live in.
Yeah.
So I can't recommend this more highly. I think it's going to be something that will really help you grow personally in your walk with Christ, and it will be a wonderful resource that you can share with others as a gift of encouragement to them.
Well, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, friends, and we're going to send you a copy of this empowering DVD series. That's a video series, Your Living Hope. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or donate by mail. I'm sorry, by phone at 844-322-2742. Keep in mind also that we're streaming live video of each day's broadcast to our Facebook and YouTube channels, and we think it's fun to see what goes on in the studio. You might be amused. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.